We ask if one of your brothers will to read that passage for us. Matthew chapter 24.
From verse 20.
Verse 22 specifically.
And it reads, "And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened."
As I shared with you, this is a quotation that from I was a little boy, 8, 9, 10, 11, right up, I've been hearing my parents, grandparents, and others quote this passage. And for umpteen years, I misunderstood the passage, because I gave it the same application that the people in rural Jamaica gave it. And that is the meaning that they place on the passage, verse 22, is that for one thing, human being, we have always felt, especially for those of us who usually have a lot of things to do, we have always felt that we do not have enough hours in the day. And I mean, it's especially now we feel that way, that it's like the days are flying, the hours. Well, country people, 60, 70, 80, 90 years ago, felt the same way. And they felt that the days were being shortened. And this is the passage that they applied. But I'm here this morning to tell you that the passage in Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, that for the elect's sake the days will be shortened, the days there has nothing to do with our time. Nothing whatsoever. In other words, it was not applying to our time. Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus' word, watch here now, about the suffering and the destruction that's going to come upon Jerusalem, that had its background from the passage that was read this morning. I think it was read, Brother McFarlane. Yes, and that was from Matthew chapter 23, from verse 31. Pick up a little on it for me. Just a little, any of you brothers.
Verse 31. "Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves."
Jesus Christ is the speaker.
"That ye are the children of them which killed the prophets."
You are the children of what?
Of them which
of those that kill God's messenger.
Amen.
Watch here, read on.
"Fill ye up the measure of your fathers."
In other words, complete. Wait. Jesus Christ was addressing religious Jews. Deeply religious Jews. And what Jesus Christ is doing here is letting them know that there is an accumulation of sinfulness, wickedness, and evil by the Jews. Accumulation spanning years, decades, century. And Jesus Christ is about to tell them that, look here, the Almighty God is about to take vengeance upon you Jews, God's people, and upon your city, and upon the symbol of your religious heritage. That's the temple. Read a little more. Read a little more.
Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers.
Wait. You serpent, you rattlesnake, generation of vipers. Vipers is poisonous snake. Why Christ using all these hot words? Read more, brother.
How can ye escape the damnation of hell?
How can you escape the damnation of?
Of hell.
Of hell. Read.
Wherefore,
mm-hmm.
behold,
mm-hmm.
I send unto you prophets
mm-hmm.
and wise men.
Jesus Christ said that I send prophet to you. I send wise men to you. Read.
And scribes.
I send writers to you. Read.
And some of them ye shall kill and crucify.
Some of them you kill, crucify.
And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogue.
Uh-huh. You're going to beat them in your synagogue. That is the very person who comes to enlighten you in respect to God's will. This is the way you have treated and will treat them. Read on.
And persecute them from city to city.
Mm-hmm. May I? So watch here. When the disciples of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 24 verse 2 and 3, when they came to Jesus Christ and of course pointed out the beauty of the temple, and Jesus Christ in verse 2, let me hear verse 2 of 24, quick, verse 2.
And Jesus said unto them,
mm-hmm.
see ye not all these things?
Do you see these things? That is the temple and the beauty. Uh-huh.
Verily I say unto you,
truly I say unto you,
there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
That's right. Jesus Christ said to them, now it was his own disciples bringing his attention to the beauty of the temple. And Jesus Christ responded that there will not be one stone that left on the other that will not be torn down. Brothers and sisters, so Matthew 24, where Jesus Christ will go on to explain some of the destruction that going to come upon the Israelite, upon the temple, and upon their city, that grew out of the listing, the tabulation of sin, ungodliness, wickedness that we have read of in chapter 23. In fact, almost the entire chapter 23 of Matthew, it is, so to speak, a tabulation of the Israelite wickedness down through the decades and century. Christ prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem grew out of that. Years, decades, and centuries of defiance by the Israelite, of disobedience, of ungodliness, of wickedness. But may I? Even in this prophetic outpouring of God's wrath, vexation on Jerusalem, in verse 22, we see echoes of Habakkuk plea to the Almighty God That is, in the evil that Jesus Christ pointed out in chapter 23 and in chapter 24 that going to come upon the Jews and upon their temple and upon their beautiful city Jerusalem, in the midst of God's vexation being announced prophetically by Jesus Christ, verse 22, that for the elect's sake the days will be shortened. Verse 22 is an echo of Habakkuk, that in your wrath, W-R-A-T-H, mean the outpouring of vexation, in wrath, remember mercy. Let us hear Habakkuk, chapter 2, chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3, and verse 2.
O Lord.
Hold it with Matthew 24, 22. Let us hear Matthew 24, 22 first.
And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Wait. Those days are the days of destruction and suffering and killing that will be carried out by Rome and Jerusalem. Those days. But notice, while Christ is telling what's going to happen to the Jews, and in a few minutes we're going to learn that within 40 years of Christ prophetically informing them what will happen, this came to pass. But in the midst of all of that, we have, but for the elect's sake,
those days shall be short.
So what we notice here, that in announcing the outpouring of God's vexation, we get a touch, a glimpse of God's mercy. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2.
O Lord.
O Lord.
I have heard thy speech.
I have heard your speech.
And was afraid.
I was afraid. Rightly so, Habakkuk.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy.
In what?
In wrath, remember mercy.
That's one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. In W-R-A-T-H, the outpouring of your vexation, remember mercy. That's what we see here. While Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 was telling what's going to come upon the city, upon the people, Jesus interject that God's mercy is still alive. For the elect's sake. Remember, we pointed out that the elect is referring to faithful servants of the Almighty God who have proven themselves over time. These are the elect. Matthew 24, 22 is telling us that God, in the midst of outpouring his wrath on the Jews at Jerusalem, God remember mercy because of the elect, because of the godly, the Christian. At this time, are we all there? At this time in history, the time when Jesus Christ was alive, the whole territory of the Jews, the entire area where Jews live, Palestine, was under the Roman control. In fact, it was like a colony. You know, Jamaica was once a British colony, where even though we have our own prime minister and governor, whatever, we were subject to Britain until we got our independence. Well, Palestine was like that. It had its own local representative. When you and I read of the Herods, they were appointed by Rome to rule over the Jews. So at this time, the whole Jewish territory was under Roman rule. But it was, get this, it was a long, constant conflict and war between the Jews and the Roman, under whom the Jews were as a type of colony. In fact, we'll be quoting from Josephus. He's one of the most prolific Hebrew writer. In fact, Josephus was a Jewish military commander. He was an historian. He was an apologist, and he was a Pharisee. This book represents his entire work. We will be looking on the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Josephus lived through that. He was one of the Jews who was caught in the destruction announced by Jesus Christ. And he, probably of all the historians who tell us about that page in history, he probably gave more detail than any other writer. But remember, Josephus was writing for Christianity, because he did not believe in Christianity. He believed in Judaism. That's right. But he tells us of the long, constant conflict and war between Rome and the Jews. Look at Mark 12 through 15. Quick. Just to give you a little hint. Mark 12:12-15.
And they sought to lay hold on him.
They sought to lay hold on Jesus Christ. That's the Jews.
But feared the people.
But they were afraid of the people, because Christ was popular among the ordinary people. But the religious leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ, not because Christ had done them any wrong, but because of his teaching. Read on.
For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them.
Mm-hmm.
And read. They left him and went their way.
Read on.
And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees,
mm-hmm,
and of the Herodonians,
mm-hmm,
to catch him in his words.
You notice? They're setting trap for Jesus. That's the Jews. They believe in the same God that Jesus Christ believed in. They used the same Bible that Jesus Christ used. But they just didn't like Christ's teaching. Read on a little further, brother.
And when they were come,
mm-hmm,
they say unto him,
mm-hmm,
Master,
mm-hmm,
we know that thou art true,
and carest for no man,
mm-hmm.
for thou regardest
you, you notice how they are sweeting him up? they are hypocritical, you know. You see, they are sweeting up Jesus Christ. We know that you know, you don't have any respect that person and all of this. You see, it's trap they are setting. Read, brother.
For thou regardest not the person of men,
mm-hmm.
but teachest the way of God in truth.
They don't believe that. And even if they believe that, they don't like it. The way of God, just like men and women today. That's right. Everybody wants their own doctrine, their own way. And that is why it is so popular when you hear, find the church of your choice. The Almighty God never gave man the church of his choice. In the same way, he never gave man the Savior of our choice. He never gave man the church of our choice. Never. In the same way God gives you one Savior, he gives one true church. There might be dozens of so-called church or false churches, but there is one true church. But we like to hear, find the church of your choice. You know, it's like we're going to a restaurant, order the food that you like. When it comes to Christianity, God didn't give us the spiritual food we like. He gave us the spiritual food we need. Read a little. What verse you are, brother?
Verse 14.
Read on.
Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or
Wait. Remember where I'm coming from? I came from informing you that during Jesus' time, before Christ, during Christ's time, after Christ, there was a constant tug of war and conflict between the Jews and the Roman government. Remember, at this time, where the Jews dwell, especially Jerusalem, Palestine, was a type of colony of Rome. But the Jews didn't like that. So anything like paying tribute to Rome, that is paying your taxes, if it goes to Rome, if some of it goes to Rome, they believe you are doing evil. Read, brother. Is it lawful
to give tribute to Caesar or not?
Wait. You're a politics this, you know. But Jesus Christ is not a politician. That's right. Never believe that he's PNP or Labour right. That's right. He's bigger than that. So they came to involve Christ in their local politics. But the question they asked was loaded. Anyway, Jesus Christ responded to it in the way they thought, he would be in trouble. If Jesus Christ said, no, you must not pay tribute to Caesar, they would call down the Roman authority on Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ said, yes, you must pay tribute to Caesar, and end it there, they would have the whole Jewish hierarchy and the Sanhedrin Council coming down on Jesus Christ. Because, you see, the Roman government represents Gentile. You must not pay tribute to Gentile as far as the Jews are concerned. I'm just here pointing out that there was constant conflict between the Jews and Rome. For example, we hear of the publican. Who are the publican? Tax collector. But the tax collector was a type of representative of Rome. You see, the tax collector collect the tax, and they're supposed to send some to Rome, and they keep the rest. Those tax collectors, let me tell you, they got rich quick. and the Jews hated them like poison. They were Jews, you know. Publicans were usually Jews. In fact, while we're at it, Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. Quick, brother. In fact, we didn't even finish. But go on. If you want to finish where you were reading, finish it. If not, go on. So much to cover.
Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy.
Knowing their what?
Hypocrisy.
Christ knew they were not sincere. You are people like that today. Let us strive to be genuine. Very important, because the Almighty God sees through us. When we deal with one another, let us strive to be genuine and be sincere. Christ saw through their hypocrisy. They did not care about paying tribute to Caesar. They were against that. But they want Christ to say something that would create problem for Christ. Read on a little.
Said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it.
Christ said, bring me a coin. Let me see.
And they brought it. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription?
Whose image and the coin you have just brought me?
And they said unto him, Caesar's.
It's Caesar's image on it.
And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
And to God the things that are God's. May I? They never anticipated an answer like that. They thought Christ will have to answer one way. Either he said, no, don't pay any taxes to Rome. Or yes. And anyway Jesus Christ answered, he would be in trouble. But Christ didn't answer their way. Give to Caesar what belonged to Caesar and to God what belonged to God. Run to Matthew chapter 9:11.
And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners?
Yeah. Because these people, while the publicans were wealthy people, but they were put at the bottom of the moral, ethical, and religious ladder. They were at the bottom. They were hated. They were disliked. Simply because they collect tax and paid out some of it to Rome. So what is the point? The constant conflict, war, hate, and bitterness between the Jews and the Roman. May I? Imperial Rome decided that the Jews must be brought under control. Because for years, in Josephus' book here, he wrote about the Jewish wars. And wars is pluralized. It's not just one war. In this very book. And if you have the work of Josephus, you will have it in there. And a lot of these war was between the Jews and the Roman, under whose rule they supposed to live. So the Roman felt that they have had it up to here with the Jews and decided that the Jews must be brought under control. But Jerusalem, the center of Jewish defiance, and with a massive Jewish population, Jerusalem was a walled city. You see, cities then was not like our cities. You drive in, you drive out. Most cities then had wall around it. Most cities. And Jerusalem was one such place. So the Roman Emperor Vespasian and his son Titus. Titus was the general of the Roman army, and his father Vespasian was the emperor of Rome. They decided that they are going to besiege the city of Jerusalem. And that is, they are going to brought the Jews under control through war, famine, and pestilence. Titus planned that no food or supply for survival should get into the city of Jerusalem. The Roman army surround the city. That is after the years of conflict, Rome decided that enough is enough. So Titus decided to siege the city. No food supply in the city, and no one could leave the city. Titus had decided to use famine and tried that for some time, but afterward decided that they'll have to use other means to bring the Jews under control. Josephus, the Jewish writer and the historian who lived through the siege, tells us that the siege lasted for 3 years, during which time 1,100,000 Jews were slaughtered, killed. 1,100,000, and 97,000 were taken captive, some of whom of those 97,000 that were taken captive, many of whom Josephus, that is the same writer, the Jewish historian who lived through it, he was caught in it, but survived. He tells us that of the 97,000 that were taken captive by the Roman, many of them were crucified. And here is a quotation from Josephus about that period. He said, Rome was wanted for crosses. Wait. 1,100,000 were killed in the siege, most of whom were Hebrews, Jews, Israelite. 97,000 were taken captive. Many of the captive were crucified. And this quotation from Josephus here is about the crucified. He said, Rome was wanted for crosses. I want to make sure you understand me. Crosses. Crucifixion. That's what Josephus is telling. Rome was wanted for crosses, and crosses wanted for the bodies. That is, they wanted more land space to put up crosses, and they need more crosses to crucify the bodies. That's the situation then. So terrible was the situation that Josephus record how one woman killed her infant and ate the infant. You know, for time, I would go back to Jesus' word in Matthew 24, where Jesus Christ pointed out that the suffering going to be of such that has never been seen in the world. But may I? Josephus, the writer, the Hebrew writer here, and notice this. This is another quotation from Josephus. No other city ever suffered such miseries, nor did any age from the beginning of the world ever breed a generation more fruitful in wickedness. Here is a Jew said that from the end of the world there has never been a generation a generation more fruitful in wickedness. Brothers and sisters, may I? So just about the time when decision was made by Titus, the general of the Roman army, to besiege the city because they have held up too long with the famine and the disease that was spreading in the besieged city of Jerusalem. Watch here. Remember, 40 years before this, Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 24, had prophetically announced what will happen. What Christ said in Matthew 24 happened just about 40 years after. Every historian who wrote then, secular and religious, tell of the destruction of Jerusalem. Just about the time when the Roman general Titus decided that famine alone is not going to do it. They'll have to besiege the city. Watch here now. Titus was called back to Rome. His presence was necessary there to deal with state affairs. You know what? Titus had to hasten and hasten the entering the city and change some of his plan. You see, this is striking, ladies and gentlemen, because here Rome had decided what will be done to Jerusalem. Titus and his father, Vespasian, they decided what will happen to Jerusalem. But may I drop this up by you? That it is God's plan and purpose that will override any man or any government's plan. Because when Titus was called back to Jerusalem and had to hasten the siege, enter Jerusalem, it's like they had planned that for the next 6 months, we are going to spend time making sure that every Jew, and especially the male, be killed. The decision was to wipe out The Jews who had created so much problem for Rome. Titus had to change those plans. When he was leaving Jerusalem, the city having been besieged, surrounded by a wall Rome built so that nobody could come out, and surrounded by the Roman soldiers, some of whom entered the city, when Titus, the Roman general, was about to leave and leave his subordinate to carry out the slaughter, he left instruction that the temple should not be destroyed. But ladies and gentlemen, the temple was destroyed. Because 40 years before Titus, Jesus Christ had prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. 40 years before Titus, the Roman representative, Jesus Christ, had prophesied that the cut stone that built the temple, magnificent place, Jesus Christ said, not one will be left on the other. So here, while the representative of Rome made plan for the temple to be saved, but the purpose and the plan of the Almighty God will overrule any government decision and any government plan or any man's plan. Wait. It's we don't know the exact month span that Titus decided to use demolishing not only the city but killing off the Jews. Let's say he had said, in 6 months we must finish with this. When he had to return to Rome, that time was shortened. But wait, 40 years before this, Jesus Christ had said, for the elect's sake, That's where this come from. That 40 years before Vespasian became emperor of Rome, and before his son Titus became the general of the Roman army, Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 prophetically announced that the days shall be shortened. That was not talking about our days. It was talking about the days of besiegement. The days there was referring to the days that the Roman would spend slaughtering the Jews. Jesus Christ could announce that the days would be shortened, meaning because the general had to be called back to Rome, the amount of time that he had planned to spend killing, destroying people, murdering people, that had to be lessened. Hence, for the elect's sake, one of the striking things, ladies and gentlemen, it is pointed out that of the 1,100,000 that were killed, very few were Christian. Very few. Why? Because the Christians who inhabited the city, they inhabited a section of the city of Jerusalem where when Christian come in the city, they search to find out where other Christians live and try to find dwelling place among other Christians. So you find that the historian tells us that there was a part there where it's mostly Christian lived there. And that is the part of Jerusalem that suffer less destruction. May I? For the elect's sake. The days that Christ talk about, there's not our days. If Jesus Christ was, remember what Christ was talk about? The destruction of Jerusalem. And the slaughter that would take place there. When he said that if those days are not shortened, there will not be a soul saved. And that soul saved there, there will not be anybody remain alive. Because that was the plan of Titus the emperor, the Roman general, to destroy all the Jews, wipe them out. But God, in his wrath, remember mercy. God, in his vexation, remember mercy. Hence, for the elect's sake, the days were in fact shortened. Ladies and gentlemen, as we close, thank God for the rain. So many times the design and the plan of the wicked to hurt the godly or to hurt God's people, so many times the Almighty God turned those plans around to benefit the godly. Many times when ungodly men and women or group of people make plans to do hurt to God's people, the Almighty God on many occasions turned those plans around that the hurt become benefit for God's people. If time permits, I want to spend a 30 minutes at tonight's service, if time permits, I'm not sure, to look a little deeper in that. Let us have the last passage read, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 7.
Howbeit he meaneth not so.
Start again.
Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few.
May I? That's what, this is one of the passages coming up tonight, if I undertake that study tonight, just to help us to understand how God sometimes undermine the plan of the wicked, of the ungodly, to benefit his people. What the brothers just read in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 7, I would have asked him to read from verse 1, but we don't have time. What he has just read is how the Almighty God going to manipulate the plan of the Syrian king. And here in verse 7, which the brothers just read, saying, listen what it says about his heart, which is his mind. Read.
Howbeit he meaneth not so.
Howbeit he meaneth not so. That is, what he didn't plan to do, that's what he ends up doing. When he made his evil plan, God transformed it into something good. We will look more at that tonight, hopefully, if for no other reason, to help us understand more how the Almighty God works. In the meantime, be mindful that for the elect's sake, the day shall be shortened. wasn't talking about days in our time. It had direct application to the Roman besieging Jerusalem, carrying out slaughter, and whereby the Roman general was called back to Rome there by not being able to spend as much time killing off some innocent people that would otherwise be killed. God intervened. And thank God that it is God's plan and purpose that will overrule and override all human or national plan. God continues to do that, even though, notice that what God did with the Roman army, what God did in having Titus, the Roman general, to return to Rome, that was providentially done. It was not a miracle. In other words, nobody then knew that God was working to preserve some life in the city of Jerusalem. Today, God is still working providentially. That's right. He is still at work, though not miraculously, but he is as powerfully at work today in the world. Sometimes when I see what's going on in Ukraine, I say to myself, why doesn't God step in? But then I come back to my knowledge of God's word, that God will, in his permissive will, permit what he will permit. And when it suits the Almighty God, he will intervene. Thank God for the great God that we are serving. If you are here today, if you are not a child of God, why don't you respond to God's call? Remember, we pointed out the week before that the Bible speaks about those who are called, eh? And the Bible talks about those who are chosen. And the Bible talks about the elect. It talks about the sanctified. But you know what? You must first answer to Jesus' call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is calling you now to obedience. Repent of your sins. Get baptized for the removal of your sin. Come from that watery grave of baptism to live the life that Jesus Christ marked out for you to live. And you know what? The Almighty God will follow you throughout the rest of your life if you will be faithful to him. We are here to help you. I mean now, and Jesus Christ is ready to save you. Again, how does one become a Christian? God's way, the Bible's way, the right way? You must hear the truth of the gospel. You must believe the truth of the gospel. You must repent of your sin. You must confess Christ's name. Put that another way, you must not be ashamed of Christ. And you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. We didn't make up that plan. It plainly outlined in the gospel of Christ. Today, if you're here, having heard how the Almighty God acts, how the Almighty God can overrule and override man's plan to carry out his own purpose, let his purpose be realized in your life through obedience. As we stand, Jesus Christ now calls you to repentance, and he calls you to fellowship with him as we stand and sing.